Wow, awesome. Every single weekend they bring it. And, that song really talks about what we've been talking about through this entire series, this idea of, wake me up when I'm wiser, when I'm older, when I can maybe help the next time not be like the last time. And so, we're wrapping up this four-part series today, Do Over. And what that means is if it's your first time with us today, first of all, welcome. We're really excited you're here with us. Or if it's your first time here in a long time, it means that, the bad news is you've missed the first three parts. All right, but the good news is these are available on our website at crosspointweb.org or in the Crosspoint app, and I encourage you to go and download the podcast because, we're going to recap just a bit today, but each of these weeks build on the other, and so we've been talking about this whole idea of if you need a do-over in any area of life, whether that's, financially or romantically, relationally, in your marriage, maybe in your business plan or, in your work life, whatever it is, we have this tendency to kind of rush back in, right? We have a disaster happen, and we just kind of rush back in, and we find that the next time ends up just being like the last time. And we don't want that same result. And so what we've been saying is in order for the next time to be different than the last time, there's three things really that we have to do. And there's three steps. And the first two steps we've talked about over the last two weeks. Today we're going to look at the third one. The first one we said is you've got to own it. All right, we've got to own our responsibility, our piece of the pie, our part, our fault, whatever you want to say. Granted, 95% of it usually is not our fault. I mean, give us enough time, 100% is not our fault, right? We have this amazing way of, trying to make it look like we have no fault in anything. It's your teacher's fault, it's your boss's fault, it was, your ex-spouse's fault, whatever that might be. But what we said is if you want to have a do-over, be different than the next time, we've got to own that part. And then last week, we talked about how we have to rethink it. And we said, whenever we look back at that thing, that disaster, that thing that did not go the way that we wanted it to go, at some point, in time, we ask the question, what was I thinking? And the problem is oftentimes we weren't. Right? But see, we ask that question, we're like, man, I'm full of regret. I look back and I wish I would have done something differently. What was I thinking? And yet we don't take enough time to actually answer the question. And if you don't answer the question, you're going to think the way you used to think and you're going to do the things you used to do. All right? In fact, last week, I challenged you. Let's see how much you were paying attention. I said, don't be a conformer, but be a transformer. Wow, you paid attention. Optimus Prime did his work, right? I mean, that's we want to be a transformer. And then today, this third part, we're going to take a look at what it means to release it. Now, a really cool thing that's going to happen, as you've heard at the end of the service today, is we're going to have an open baptism. And this is really cool because for some of us, this may be the single biggest step that we can take today. All right, meaning, if you've become a Christian at some point over the last number of weeks or months or even a number of years ago, maybe it's been like 15 years and yet you've never taken this step to follow Jesus in water baptism, then as you maybe are going through some changes in your life, maybe you're saying, I want the next time in this particular arena of my life to be different, but maybe part of your, saying, hey, I'm starting a new season of life, if you've never been baptized, is to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you and do the thing that you've asked me to do after I believed in you. So you're going to have an opportunity to do that later on today. So release it. What do I mean by release it? Well, here's what release it is. See, in the first week, we looked at this pie chart, right? And this pie chart is the circle of blame. So we said, everything in this pie chart and this circle right here is in terms of, this is everything that caused me to say this. I understand why things went wrong the last time, why last semester wasn't good, why my last marriage didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, why your boss said what he said, why my finances are where they are. This is a circle of blame. This contains all of that stuff. And we said, essentially, in all of our cases, we have to own our slice of the pie. And in other words, our piece. And usually, it's just like this much right here. It's just a little part. We're like, I had a little role in what went wrong. Because what we discussed is you can't blame your way into a better future. You can blame your way into the future. You can't blame your way into a better future. And so, in order to move forward, we've got to own our piece of the pie, right? This itty-bitty slice, whatever big it is. Now, release it. What we're going to talk about today is the rest of the pie, all right? In other words, it's the part the other person played in this situation or this disaster that caused you to need a do-over. All right, it really was their fault. They really did betray me. They really did, you know, not come through for me. They really did break their promise. They really did lie to me. I mean, you know, they have a role in why you are in need of a do-over in your marriage or in your job, whatever it is. But see, here's the thing. Even though they carry a part of the blame, you and I have a responsibility. You and I have a responsibility of something we can do with this part of the equation as well. All right, now let me explain what I mean by that. Just like we talked about in the first step, you know, if we don't own our part, you know, the itty-bitty little part that's our responsibility. See, if we don't own that, this sets us up for repeat performance, right? I mean, if you don't own your part in the blame, you know, if you don't own your issues and your, you know, dysfunction and your bad habits and how those contributed to that, then you're going to set yourself up for a repeat performance. Why would we want to do that? Right? And likewise, not dealing with their part, the rest of the circle sets you up as well for a repeat performance, right? If you don't deal with what's been done to you, if you don't deal with the hurt, if you don't deal with the anger, all right? And here's what happens. The people who you dislike the most, the people who you never want to see again, the people who have hurt you the most, all right? And you know this. But if you don't deal with this part of the circle, then you allow them to continue to undermine your future, all right? And they set you up for a repeat performance, and you don't want that. So this is why people who start over, you know, who say, hey, I need a do-over, and we just jump right back in, oftentimes end up with the same results as the first time because they drag the past with them, all right? They were either refused to own their part or they refuse to admit the shrapnel that they've experienced as a result of somebody else, or they feel left or abandoned or betrayed or lied to. And so, you know, we have to deal with that part. So I want to ask you two questions, two very insensitive questions today, all right? I always ask insensitive questions. That's why you don't want me as your counselor, all right? Sometimes people are like, I want you to counsel me. I'm like, you really don't, all right? And I do, you know, I do front-end counseling and help people find the resources they need. But and I like this because this is a crowd and I can't see your body language when I ask this question. And I know this is going to elicit a little bit of, like, this is going to dig a little bit, all right? That's why we keep the lights low, so you can kind of, you know, wrestle with that on your own, all right? So, and I'm sorry if it digs a little bit, but I think this question has to be asked. Here's the question, all right? You ready? First question. How far into your future do you intend to carry the angst created by your past? All right, how far into your future do you intend to carry the angst created by your past? Now, I struggle with the word angst a bit because angst, it's not really fear. You know, there's a fear that's a part of this question. It's not really anger, though there's definitely anger that we have to deal with. You know, there's definitely mistrust. That's a part of it as well. So the word angst is kind of the general word for, you know, all of this stuff in our past. You know, because, you know, here's the thing. You know, we look at this and we're like, I don't know. You know, that's a really good question. Well, see, you need to figure that out. You need to answer that question, all right? How far into your future do you intend to carry the angst created by your past? You know, because here's what I've discovered. If you don't have plans to drop it, then you're going to carry it with you, all right? Or here's another way to ask this question. How long do you intend to allow the people who have mistreated you in the past to continue to influence you? All right, how long do you intend to let the people who have mistreated you in the past to continue to influence you? And we're like, I don't know. I mean, should we get a calendar out? I mean, is it going to be, you know, through my second marriage until that one blows up and then I'll decide? Or, you know, is it until I retire or until I get out of school? I mean, people look at that question and they're always like, I don't know. Well, see, this is why it's such a good question, because we need to think through this. How long? And see, the big piece of the pie, see, here's what I've discovered. This big piece of the pie, their story, we like that piece of the pie. Because see, that's our story. You know, that's when somebody begins to come down on us and they're like, you know, they're kind of like, well, why are you this way? You're like, well, let me explain it. You probably don't understand what's happened to me. You've probably never heard my story. Let me tell you about the pain that I've experience. And before long, like, you're crying and they're crying and, you know, they're like taking you to Starbucks, like, oh, you know, I just need to take you out, or go use my beach house for the week. I mean, you just need to get away. You like that part of your story because you have a story, right? The adult question The adult question is, how long are you going to let the people who have mistreated you from your past continue to influence your future? All right, and if we're really honest, most of us would say, well, I want it to stop today. I mean, that ninth grade science teacher who humiliated me in front of the class, every time I get in front of people, I remember him. I want to end that today. You know, my mom issues, my dad issues, I mean, the way those shaped my childhood, I want to take that power away from that scenario today. All right, well, that's the goal. All right, that's the goal. All right, let me ask you another question. And here's how this all ties in. All right, see, if the next time's going to be different than the last time, then we have to deal with everything, the entire circle. All right, so here's another question. This one's not as hard. All right, I don't know if you've ever met somebody. Have you ever met somebody who just seemed to have their life, like, together? I mean, they just seem normal. I mean, you're like, I'm not normal, but they're normal. I mean, it's like they went to school, and, you know, they met somebody, and they got married, and got their degree, and had kids, and their kids are normal, and their life always seems to go exactly the way that, you know, I want my life to go. Anybody met somebody like that before? And you're like, wow, why is their life that way? Listen, you know, and then all of a sudden, you're sitting with them sometime, maybe it's in Life Together group, and we're sharing a bit of our story, and all of a sudden, they blow you away. They tell you something, and you're like, oh, my word, I had no idea they've experienced that. You know, or I had no idea that that's the childhood they had. Or, you know, I had no idea that they went through that. And you're just, it just blows you away. I mean, you look at them, and you're like, nobody would ever know that about you. All right, well, that's the goal, all right? That's the goal right there. The goal is that at some point we would be at the place where our past disaster no longer defines us, but it reminds us, right? It no longer defines us, but it reminds us. And here's the thing. I'm generally interested in change, and maybe that's because I'm a pastor, but I generally, when I hear people tell me about how they used to be this way and something really rocked their world, but now their life is this way, often I'm like, whoa, I want you to stop right there. And I usually ask them, I'm like, how did you get from here to here? I mean, this is amazing that you've actually made this shift, but how did you get from here to here? Because, I mean, I look at you, and most people would be blown away by you. I mean, most people would be blown away by what you've experienced, and they'd be like, man, I can't go on. But for you, somehow, your big disaster is not affecting the way you parent. It's not affecting anymore the way that you interact with your spouse, or the way you, you know, manage responsibility at work. I mean, how do you do that? And on almost 100% of the time, When I stop somebody and I say, okay, what'd you do? About, you know, 100% of the time, usually they say something in some shape or form like this. They just say, well, I just decided. I decided. I'm like, well, how did you do that, though? They're like, well, Kurt, I just decided. I was so tired of my life being this way that I one day just said, I've got to decide right now. And I've got to decide that I'm not going to let my past define me any longer. I'm going to learn from the past. I'm going to learn from the lessons of my past. I'm going to do things differently, parent differently, marry differently. But at some point, they usually say, I just decided. And listen, this is their words, not my words, right? And here's the thing. The point of today, and we're going to look at something the Apostle Paul said, something really cool that he said in the New Testament, one of the most powerful phrases that he wrote. But if you don't get anything else out of today, I want you to hear this. You have the ability to decide to leave your past behind you, all right? You have that power. You have the ability. I mean, you've met enough people who have done this. I've met enough people. Some of you sitting here today are those people. I mean, you were deeply abandoned. You were deeply betrayed, and you just came to the place of saying, you know, I'm just going to decide to leave it behind me, all right? You have the ability to do this, all right? That's why I asked the question. How long do you intend to carry the angst from your past into your future, all right? And until you answer that question, I'm sorry to tell you, your past is going to continue to repeat itself into the future, all right? See, we have to release the past so the past can release you. You have to release the past so the past can release you. How do we do that? Well, it all boils down to one word, all right? And this is a word you know. This is a word that kind of characterizes who God is, but it's a very difficult word. Here's the word. It's the word forgive, all right? Forgiveness. See, forgiveness allows us to leverage the lessons of our past and not carry the luggage into our future, all right? Forgiveness allows us to leverage the lessons of our past without carrying the luggage, without carrying the pain and the defining, you know, nature into our future. Now listen, none of this is new to any of us, right? I mean, through this whole series, my prayer for this whole series hasn't been, man, God, will you just give us some new insight? You know what my prayer has been? My prayer has been for those of us who know this stuff and just have been hanging on. My prayer has been for those of us who've just continued to hold on to our story, to, you know, we've never decided, I want to move past this, that we would actually do that. All right, so I want you to see that you actually can move on, all right? And you can decide today. And that doesn't mean it's easy. All right, it doesn't mean you're going to hear this, you know, great teaching and then a powerful song and then you're going to get in your car and walk out of here and everything's going to be behind you and life's going to be great. No, there's going to be some accountability. There's going to be some support you're going to need in that process. But I do believe that if you decide today, I'm going to decide to begin to move on, God will honor that. All right, and in time, your past will be a reminder and people will meet you and people will see you and they're going to be like, oh my word, when they hear that part of your story, they're going to say, I had no idea. I have no idea, because that doesn't define who you are. So, the Apostle Paul, here's somebody who understands a first time, understands a failure, and understands a bigger second time, all right? The Apostle Paul in his first time hated Christians, all right? He persecuted them, he put them in jail, he killed some, all right? Some of you are like, man, I'd like to kill a few Christians, all right? I got a few on my list. I mean, this is what he did. And then, so he hates Christians, and then he becomes one. And not only does he become one, he begins to write to them, all right? And so, and he talks about forgiveness. He gives us this huge, huge insight on forgiveness, all right? And so whether you're into the Bible or not, it doesn't really matter. I think you're going to dig what the Apostle Paul says right here, all right? And so this has been my prayer through this whole series, is that we would see that we can actually move on, and our past doesn't have to continue to repeat itself in our future. All right, so here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. He says, in your anger, do not sin. All right. Now there's actually two imperatives he gives us right there. All right. And if you grew up in church, you may have heard it this way. You may have heard it said, be angry and do not sin. All right. And the reason that translation is so good, you're like, great, finally something I can do. Be angry. I do that all the time. All right. Check that off. I'm angry all the time. Finally, something in the Bible I can follow. All right. So he says, be angry and do not sin. Two imperatives. He says, hey, look. There's going to be things in your life that are going to make you angry. Be angry. All right? There's things that are going to happen to you. There's going to be things that happen to your children, and it's going to make you mad. All right, be mad. But there's a difference between being angry and sinning. All right? There's something very natural and normal about anger. All right, there are certain things that happen in our lives, happen to you, happen to your kids, that you should be angry about. In fact, it'd be progress for some of us to get angry, right? I mean, some of us never get angry. We never get angry about anything. All right, so it's just finding the proper place for that anger, all right? So two imperatives. He says, be angry, and in your anger, do not sin. And then he gives us insight into what our responsibility is, you know, with this anger. Here's what he says. He says, do not. Now, the reason I highlighted do not right there is because this shows us that you and I have a decision. We can either do something or we can not do something, right? He says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Now, a lot of people take this literally, all right? They take this literally, and they're like, well, that means I can't go to bed and be mad, all right? Which is fine if, you know, it's something as simple as, you know, your husband left toothpaste in the sink again, you know, and you're like, man, I'm so angry at him, but God, I just pray that you help me to forgive him, and you go to him and tell him, and he's like, oh, man, I'm so sorry, honey, I'll never do that again, and you're like, great, now we can go to bed. I mean, it's great if it's that, right? But that's not life. Right? I mean, it's harder if, you know, it's something that like went on and on and on in a previous relationship outside of your marriage. It's harder when, you know, it was something major in a working relationship that cost you your job. See, it's harder when it's something that's really big and bad. And so this isn't literal right here. Right? What the Apostle Paul's communicating is he's saying at some point, you have the responsibility, and at some point, you and I have the ability to decide to deal with this. All right, he's saying you can decide. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. You can decide, how long am I going to continue to carry this with me? How many more sunsets am I going to do it? All right, is it going to be four? I mean, is it gonna be 14 more sunsets, 2 weeks? Am I gonna decide, but you know, by December 31st, 2015, I'm gonna enter the next year and I'm gonna let this thing now be behind me? See, this is why it's such a good question. And let me tell you what. If we can't answer this question, all right, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, all right, you're going to be exactly where you are today. All right, and here's the brilliant part of what Paul teaches right here. So he says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. In other words, you have a part to play in this. And then he says, and do not give. Again, he's indicating that you have a decision to make right here. You can decide. See, some of us, we have stories, right? We like our stories. We're like, well, let me tell you about why I'm the way that I am. You know, let me tell you how much pain they created for me. Let me tell you how much I've been hurt. I hear this all the time. People just want to convince me of how much pain they've had. Listen, I get it. I see it all the time. The Apostle Paul says, you know, I'm not one to say, hey, let me tell you how to deal with the pain. But the Apostle Paul is like, regardless of how much pain there's been, you actually have a role to play, right? There's something you can do. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give, do not gift, do not grant the devil a foothold. Now I want to come back to devil in just a moment, all right? But first I want to deal with foothold. All right, so foothold, this word can also be translated as opportunity. It can also be translated as a staging area. So he's saying, do not give the devil a staging area, a place to, you know, kind of come in and camp out and set up shop and invite all his friends. In other words, don't let your anger result in creating a staging area where he just stays there forever and ever and wreaks havoc in your life, and it continues to affect you and everybody around you forever and ever. He's like, don't do this. All right, so how do we keep that from happening? The Apostle Paul says it's in dealing with your anger. All right, it's in deciding, okay, 4 more sunsets, and then I'm going to move on. 14, 21 more sunsets, and then I'm going to move on. You know, 62, 2 months worth, 61 more sunsets, and then I'm going to move on. And when I get to that point, I'm going to put this in my past. All right, because I don't want to have a staging ground in my life from the person who's hurt me the most to affect my next relationship, my next marriage, the way that I parent. I don't want that. Now, the other interesting thing here, the fascinating part of this, is the word devil. All right? In the Greek New Testament, there's a word for devil or for Lucifer or Satan, however you want to refer to him. This is not the word the Apostle Paul uses here. All right? He actually uses a different word. He uses a word that kind of, in the Greek language, is deceiver or liar or strategizer. All right, and so, you know, in older translations, older English translations, it actually doesn't say Satan right there, devil. It actually says, you know, the deceiver or the liar. Do not give the deceiver a foothold. Now this is interesting because, you know, when we see the word devil, we usually think of what? Like pitchfork, Halloween, you know, trick-or-treating, or we don't know what to think, right? We don't know what to do with the devil. We don't even like to talk about the devil, right? But the more practical way to understand this verse, all right, and this is what makes this verse right here so interesting. Look at this, is if you take out the word devil and you put the name of the person who hurt you in there, all of a sudden this makes tons of sense. And do not give Joe a foothold. Now, I'm not saying Joe's the devil, all right? You might think he's the devil. You're like, man, I like that. That's really good. I'm not saying that, all right? But all of a sudden, this makes perfect sense, right? Because this is the leverage point right here, right? This is the power to this verse. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give that boss or your teacher or that executive or that ex-spouse, or your mom, or your dad, or your ex-wife, or your ex-husband, whoever it is, do not give them a staging ground in your life. See, here's what I know about you. Here's what I know about all of us. You do not want to give the person who's hurt you the most a staging ground for your heart. All right? You don't. Right, there's been way too many sunsets, right, with stuff that you've never dealt with. And this is why the Apostle Paul says, listen, at some point, we've just got to decide. And that's not easy, all right? It kind of takes the energy out of our story. I'm not saying it happens overnight. All right? I'm just saying that you have to decide. And I believe when you do that, God will honor that. And then take a look at what he says a few verses later. He goes on, comes back to this whole deal, and here's what he says. He says, get rid of. And again, this indicates that we have a part to play in this. We can decide something. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be compassionate to one another. And here's our word right here, forgiving each other. Right? Forgiving simply means to pardon. All right, see, forgiveness, we get kind of way out there with forgiveness, right? We get kind of way out there. Forgiveness literally means to pardon. To pardon means you're guilty, all right? You were guilty, but I'm going to not prosecute you. You know, to pardon means you were guilty, but I'm going to not hold this against you any longer, all right? To pardon means, you know, it doesn't mean you're not guilty anymore. That's dumbing it down. It means, hey, yeah, what you did, it was wrong, but I'm not going to hold that against you. Right? And Paul says, Christians, listen, you have a responsibility in this. All right? If somebody has wronged you, if you're not a Christian, right, this is optional for you. But the Apostle Paul says, you have the responsibility to forgive them. All right? Now, what's interesting about this is one of the questions that always comes up if, you know, I'm talking in a one-on-one conversation, somebody will say, well, does that mean I don't call the police? And I'm like, well, you know, if they did something to you personally and it was illegal, call the police. All right? I mean, now they have two people to deal with, right? They have the government to deal with, and they have you to deal with. And here's the beauty of it. You know, the government's going to have to listen to them and may throw them in jail, but you can pardon them, right? You can, like, go to jail and be like, hey, listen, I pardon you. Apparently the judge didn't. You're sitting here, but I've got to go. See ya. I mean, you have the ability to do that, all right? So I'm not kidding. People ask this all the time. Does that mean I don't report it if it's illegal? No, you report it. All right, but that doesn't mean that you still don't have to go through the process of pardoning. And so Paul says, hey, if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you can decide. If you're a Christian, he raises the bar on this and he says, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That is, you and I were guilty and he pardoned us. And this idea that, you know, I was guilty and God didn't make me pay him back because I can't pay him back. There's no way. In fact, this is what baptism is all about, that we're going to see in just a few moments, that I was guilty and God pardoned me. And now I'm celebrating that my life is different. And so, you know, not only do you have the opportunity, right, to forgive someone, right? But Paul says, if you're a Christian, you have the responsibility to pardon as you've been pardoned. It's amazing how this actually releases us from our past. And he says, all you have to do is decide. And you're like, well, how do I do that? All right, well, here's what you do. All right, a couple simple applications. All right, you go first so you can go on. All right, and when I say that to people, oftentimes they're like, well, but they haven't moved. They don't even feel sorry for what they did. It doesn't matter. You go first. This isn't about them. This is about you. All right? You go first so you can go on. All right? And you're like, well, how do I do that? All right? Well, here's the super simple application right here. All right? Here's what you do. You make a list of what they owe you. All right? You go home today and you begin to make a list. And you say, you know, here's what you owe me. Here's the things. You know, specifically. See, and you're like, I did that, Kurt. I mean, I found a verse and I prayed. I got down on my knees and I forgave them. And I got up and nothing changed. I'm still, you know, I still have bitterness. They're still controlling me. Well, here's why. Because you've forgiven them generally, but you've not forgiven them specifically. All right? So you need to go home and you need to write it down. You need to make a list. You need to write all the things out, everything they've done, exactly what they did, all the things that they owe you. All right? You need to make a list because, see, you can't pardon something that you don't know. All right? Yes, they took this away from me. Yes, they took my childhood. Yes, they took away, you know, my job, whatever it is. You need to make a list. And then what's going to be amazing is you're going to have way more to write on that list than you think you are, right? You're just going to keep writing. But here's what's interesting. As you write that list, the energy is going to begin to go away. You're going to begin to release the energy. Your story is going to begin to dissolve. And once you write down, here's what he took from me and here's what she took from me, and, you know, something powerful is going to begin to happen inside of you. And when you have that list, you're going to be able to look at that list and say, okay, I'm going to decide to pardon every single thing I've written down. and I'm going to not hold it against them anymore. Because they don't own me anymore, and they don't owe me anymore. And I want to release the past so my past, I can get past my past and not continue to repeat it. And you know what else? You know what's fascinating? Is when you begin to write that list down, you know what happens? It's amazing how we hold things over people's heads that we think like we can get paid back. Most of these things you can't get paid back. Your parents can't give you back your childhood. There's no way. All right? It's not possible. So this is about you releasing it so you can move on. So these are our next steps today. In fact, there's some other next steps on the back of your card. I want to encourage you to take your card out right now. And on the back side are some next steps that I really want you to hone in on number two. I will decide today how much longer I'm going to carry my past into my future. And I'm telling you, this is the final step to making sure the next time isn't like the last time. And when you do this, when you release the past begins to release you. Right? So we've got a decision to make. You can go ahead and mark your card. I mean, if that's where you are, I just encourage you to say, declare it today. Say, okay, I'm going to decide how much longer so I can move on. Now, as I said a few minutes ago, you know, we're going to end our morning with open baptism. And for some of us, this may be the single most important step that we can take in this entire process. Meaning, you know, if you've become a Christian, if you, you know, have become a Christian recently, last few weeks, months, you know, years ago, but you've never taken this step of next step of baptism. You know, when Jesus says, hey, believe and be baptized. Baptism doesn't make us a Christian. Believing does. But Jesus says, but the very first thing I ask you to do is to be baptized, because there's something significant that happens when we follow Christ in obedience. And maybe this is your next spiritual step this morning. All right, and maybe you've been processing a do-over over the last few weeks. Maybe, you know, there's something you've been tracking on and getting past. And as we talk about releasing it today, you're saying, okay, it's time. I've decided it's time to go and create a new season for me. I'm going to tell you what, if you've not taken this step in baptism, this can be a very powerful step for you today. All right, you know, whether your issue's been romantically, you know, in your marriage, I mean, you know, you've been following God, but you've never taken this step. I mean, if you're looking for a do-over, that's what baptism is. It's a reflection that I've been pardoned, and I just want to express that I'm connected with Christ. He's forgiven me, and Jesus says, I want you to be baptized. There's something significant that happens when we take this step to follow Him. So, in just a moment, I'm going to hop in the tub. And over these next few minutes, the waters are going to be open, which means that at any given moment, as I pray in just a moment, as we sing, if you say, you know, this is my next spiritual step, I need to declare. Maybe God's just tugging at your heart. I mean, follow those promptings this morning. And you know, you might be thinking, well, Kurt, I didn't come prepared to do this. I thought that was for other people. Listen, we came prepared, all right? We've got a team that just exited the auditorium. They're in the commons. They will help you get clothing and undergarments and shirts. And, you know, we've even got hair product for you, so you can go out looking the same way as when you came in. All right, you can walk out of here in the same clothes, dry clothes that you walked in. And maybe you're serving after this. You're like, well, I don't know if today's my day. I'm just going to ask you to be open. If God's saying, hey, this is your next spiritual step, right? To kind of mark the moment of the next season of your life, then I invite you to exit as I pray, or even over the next few minutes, and take the step of baptism. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for being a God of do-overs. Thank you for being a God who allows us to have a first time, experience failure, but that failure doesn't have to define us any longer. God, for many of us, I know that there's been a lot of processing over these last few weeks. We're taking a lot of ground, and God, I just pray that you give us the courage, even today, if we mark that box that says, I'm going to decide today when I'm going to move past my past. God, just give us the courage to walk that out, to pick the day, to get the people around me that I'm going to need to make that happen, so that my life no longer has to be defined by the disaster in my life. And God, for those of us right now who are feeling a tug to take this step of baptism, maybe we've come to know you and we're realizing, okay, this is my very next spiritual step. God, I even ask right now that you would give them the courage to move. Just get up and walk to the back, walk out to the commons, or at any point over these next few songs. God, because this is something to celebrate. And God, we get so excited that we have a God who doesn't just give us a second time or a fourth time or a tenth time, but God, that we, regardless of where we are, can allow the next time to be different than the last time. So God, thank you. Thank you for forgiving us, and may we live in a way that forgives and gives that grace to others. We pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And if at any point over the next few songs you want to step out to the commons, our team is ready to help you have a baptism today.